this is something that, that he and I are doing together. Yes, ma'am. It's a, we're, I was very interested. I talked with him about, you know, I felt that his years at Clemson were second in importance, frankly, only to the founding of Clemson itself and the changes that his administration brought about. And I wanted an opportunity to get that wisdom recorded and find out what really happened from him. And because if he had never had an opportunity to do that, some valuable historical data about the university would have been gone forever. And so I discussed it with him, and he agreed to allow me to work with him on this, to bring this thing together. And one of the people he said I needed to talk with, said, well, you got to talk to Ms. Shank. Said she served many Clemson presidents, and he said that, that there was no one more helpful to him when he became president than you, because you knew everything that was going on at the time and were able to bring him up to date.
Long time ago.
Was a long time ago. But I know it doesn't seem as long as it actually was, I'm sure. What was your job title officially?
Well, you mean from the time I came? Oh, just with Dr. Edwards.
Well, just with Dr. Edwards.
With Dr. Edwards, I was secretary to the president.
Secretary to the president. What in that responsibility, what kind of things did you do on a regular basis?
Just everything.
Everything
that was to be done.
Needed to be done.
Correspondence and filing. And in the early days, there wasn't any personnel department. So the deans recommended, and the Sergeant Helton, who is dead now, but he would check the budget, and then he'd send it in, and I made out the contract. And it's just inconceivable when I think back how much it was.
Yeah.
And did the letters, and just was there. Helped a lot with the receptions at the president's house, because we didn't have Schrader. It wasn't Schrader. What is it now? The
ARA?
ARA.
Food Services?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So when we had things, Mrs. Cloninger and I'd get together and plan the food and things like that. And of course, it just seems so funny now, you know. And yet we did have a lot of people.
Yes, oh yeah.
Yeah, we did. It's not like the student body now, of course, it's so much larger. When I came, of course, it was a small student body. When I came back in 24, I think about 1,500 or something like that. And then during the war, it dropped down, you know. We had the government sent people here, because otherwise I don't see how we could have gone along otherwise.
I didn't know that. What kind of people did they send here?
They sent Air Corps people.
Really?
For preliminary training.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, ma'am, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, they certainly did. Sent them here. And you know, I think they sent some engineers, too.
Mm-hmm. During World War II?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you came to Clemson in 1924.
That's right.
As an employee or as a child?
Away from Mr. Little Young.
Oh my goodness. J.C. Little Young?
Yeah, I had been at Winthrop, and he needed someone, and I came over here. I worked for Dr. Johnson at Winthrop for 4 years, and then, not as his secretary, just as a stenographer, and then I came over here and worked for Mr. Little Young in his office. And then I wanted to go away and finish my work at Chapel Hill. So they gave me a leave of absence, and while I was away, Miss Margaret Sadler, the president's secretary, married Mr. A.D. Bryan, and they wrote and offered me the place. Well, I had gone up there to stay the year, but it was too good a job not to come back to, so I said I would. And I did. And then I was in the president's office from then on. And for most of a long time, I was the only one in there. And then later on, I got someone to help me. Julia Cato came. She was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, I was the only one there. And then you see, I worked for Dr. That I came when Dr. Earl was acting president.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, that's when I was in Mr. Littlejohn's office, and if his secretary went away, I had to help. Then I went away, and when she married, I came back, and I was the one in the office. And with Dr. Sykes, Dr. Poole, who was next? Sykes, Poole, Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, about 40 years of Clemson presidents in there,
yeah.
You served.
Dr. Edwards thought that I worked for Dr. Riggs. I didn't. He died the January before I came in October of 24.
So when Dr. Earl was acting president, that was the...
Yeah, and Miss Margaret Bryant was his secretary. And if she went away or needed extra help, we just swapped. The offices were small, you know, you could do that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of difference. I know you saw a lot of changes. What year did you retire, man?
65.
65. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you had been seen through the CMP report and all the changes that brought about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, the CMP report, that really brought about changes, of course.
That seems to me to be probably the second most important document Clemson ever had, the first being the will of Thomas Green Clemson being most, and the CMP report being second.
Well, it just changed the whole outlook.
It changed everything, didn't it?
It changed everything, yes, it did.
Yeah, that report, I think that's a good idea.
Just one.
Just one at a time, yeah. But anyway, that seemed to me to be very important. I mean, all the changes that went about.
Yeah.
What did that mean? You were working with Dr. Edwards then, as far as the additional responsibilities, the additional workload.
When they first came, I wasn't working for Dr. Edwards. I was working for Dr. Poole, I believe.
Yes, ma'am. I'm saying that after Dr. Edwards took over as president in 1959. And all the things started happening. Did your workload increase? Did you see an increase in activity?
Oh, yes.
I mean, more things. What year was your assistant hired?
What year was what?
Your assistant, Miss Cato, what year was she hired?
Oh, that was before Dr. Abrams came. That was when
Dr. Poole was still president.
Because his death was so sudden that it just startled everybody, you know. During commencement that year.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. He had met with the alumni and wasn't feeling too well. And Mr. Metz was in the registrar's office saying,
Yes, Metz.
And so he phoned me that night, the night Dr. Poole died, and said, broke it gently, and he said, Dr. Poole was not well this afternoon, and they thought he'd better go over to the hospital. And I said, oh, he did? Yes, and he said, and he's dead. And it was just like a thunder thing.
That's amazing.
It is.
That really is amazing.
It was
amazing.
That fast. And so we went up there, Mr. Metz and I, and the trustees had to be notified, you see, that night. And, oh, it was just traumatic.
Did you have to notify the trustees?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I was up there. Well, Mr. Metz and I together.
Called them all.
Called, so they would know before they saw it in the morning paper.
Yes, ma'am. What do you think? I mean, I understand there were a lot of Dr. Poole in those years after CMP was under a lot of pressure about the changes that were being made. Is that, did you feel that working there?
No, not particularly. I knew they were coming, you know. And a lot of people were more or less unsettled after the report. They didn't know what it was going to mean. They were used to the old regime, and they just didn't know what this was going to mean.
Your observations just on the way things went, the way things happened. Do you think that the changes that were made that helped out as far as the actual running of the college?
I should think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
I understand that in the report it said that, for instance, at the time of the report was made, like 16 different people reported directly to Dr. Poole.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody just went.
Yeah, that's right.
No real organization. And I know CMP reduced that number that reported the office.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, I shouldn't say there was no organization. There was, but it was more diverse.
Informal, maybe.
That's right. Well, I don't know that it was so informal, but it was different. No doubt about that. Yeah.
Well, what do you, as you moved in and you did work with Dr. Edwards, do you have any particular stories about your dealings with him that might be interesting?
No, but, you know, he just came in for 1 year, supposedly, and I believe it was just a year before he was elected permanently. And, of course, he is such a worker, all the time, never letting up. And, of course, I liked him and I liked to work for him. He worked hard, but he worked harder himself. There was no doubt about it. He worked very hard, but he worked harder, so you didn't mind it.
Yeah, from what everybody said, I mean, he began his work day around 7 o'clock and carried his work home with him every night.
He always came early. Always. He'd always say, Miss Shanklin, when it was time to go home, he'd always say, now if you just take one more letter, I'll ride you home. I didn't want to ride home. I wanted to come home. But always, I'm sure that 4 afternoons of the week, he would say, if you just take this one more letter, I will... ride you home. I didn't want to ride home. I wanted to come home then.
Go home right then.
Well, he didn't see any. Of course, he went and got the mail every morning the minute it was put up and had it there.
He went personally to get the mail?
He couldn't wait for the mail to be brought for the janitors. Janitors used to go get the mail and bring it to the different offices. But he went. He got it himself. He brought it.
Well, that's interesting.
He's still going hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he's working me on this project. I mean, it's been when I first started out, we were talking about one thing, and he told me then, he said, Joe, there's no way to do this thing right unless you go and do the research you have to do about the history of Clemson. You can't even begin to look at Clemson today without understanding where it came from.
Yeah.
And I did it, not because I understood why, but because he said that I should do it, and that was enough for me.
Yes.
And I've been a year on this project already.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, already been working on it a year, and that's, you know.
No, he's a great worker. Anything he does, he works, puts heart and soul in.
Well, it's pretty obvious that when he...
And I think, being a businessman, he wanted things on a real business-like basis. And that's no criticism of any of the others, you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
But he saw things differently. And also, I've always felt, not having academic training, he did defer to... people who did. There's no doubt about that. I've heard other people say that, deans, that he thought, well, now, if they think this is the thing to do, we will. They talk it out and all, but I thought he did that. He also thought that salaries ought to be better. He was used to business. He'd been out in business. And raises, he did get more money for salaries, certainly for the people who work, because we work with such low salaries. Mm-hmm. And he saw that when the raises were made that you got an increase. I'm sure not as much as he would have liked. But you see, he was a business person.
Yes, ma'am. Now, and he, no question, he liked to do things in a business-like way. I mean, he even went back to business after he retired from Clemson.
Yeah, that's right.
For another 5 years. And,
yes.
And you know, it was a president of Textile Hall Corporation. Mm-hmm. But that's an interesting thing too. These are things that I think this is why he wanted me to have an opportunity to talk with you. Some of the things like what you're saying now. That's interesting, and no one else has said it.
Is that so?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I have heard. My brother-in-law was Dr. Huff, head of the physics department, and he said that he, from the academic standpoint, he relied because he didn't have that training himself. And then I had heard the wife of one of the deans say the same thing, that he gave full credit to the dean.
Well, it seemed to be, and of course you were there, and I lived here, but I wasn't involved in it at all, but that there really was a strong sense of partnership, and I've heard Dr. Edwards say that, you know, the things that were done at Clemson weren't done by him, they were done by him with others.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that it wasn't just the business and trying to get better salaries and things like that. It was the fact that he wanted their viewpoint and deferred to them. He wanted strong faculty and a well-trained faculty and thought they ought to be paid accordingly as much as he could get the money.
Right.
Because, of course, that depends.
Yeah, on the state. And
yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good. In other words, you would say that it would be fair to state that Dr. Edwards sought out people who are experts on the academic areas, and then he ran the actual administration of the college and made sure that the administrative processes ran on. Fair statement?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was governed by their opinion for the academic needs.
Mm-hmm.
When the buildings, new buildings added and things like that.
Excellent.
But he deferred to them, there's no doubt about that. And then, of course, you know, all that time, the reason I have a feeling that the reason Clemson made such a good stand and went into integration so well was because he helped prepare for it with outstanding people in the state, not just here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he talked to the faculty here and all, and to the deans and the directors. But he also went out in the state and talked to people, newspaper people, television people, bankers, textile people, and he knew he had their backing, so we have wonderful entry into it. It wasn't like Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi.
No, that's true, and I think one of the things that can be said about Dr. Edwards is the fact that every single situation he does his homework on.
Oh, yes, indeed, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
he did it. It wasn't just when they said that we were going to have Harvey Grant. It wasn't that at all. He had prepared for it a year in advance. He saw it coming. And that's the reason it was to South Carolina's credit.
Yeah, probably one of the greatest surprises of the 60s was how integration was handled in South Carolina. Something to be very proud of.
Oh, you know, you know how many people from the media came down. Why, the Clemson house was just overrun. They thought it was going to be another Georgia or Mississippi or Alabama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't. It went as smooth as glass. Not that we weren't all nervous and keyed up. And then, of course, we were lucky in that the first one was an outstanding student.
Yeah, I interviewed Harvey.
Harvey Grant, you did.
Judge Perry.
You did. Mm-hmm.
And I have to talk with both of those gentlemen, and I mean, two finer people, it's hard to.
That's right.
Hard to run into.
Oh no, Harvey Grant was a fine one, and he cooperated. Now, if he'd been a troublemaker, it wouldn't have been.
Yes.
But the faculty did. Everybody did. Everybody at Clemson deserves credit. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, nice of you to say that. That's I'm getting ready to take a good look at the total integration picture, and so your comments about that are very timely.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you can say that might give us a glimpse at Clemson University? I mean, you were there from there was steady growth at Clemson really for a long time. You
except during World War II, and of course that was inevitable.
Were you working here between 1929 and 1933?
I came in 24 years.
Yeah, and you weren't getting off, getting in.
No, I went away twice, but just for not even a whole year. The first time, I went in September and came back in March. And then the next time, I guess that was about 33 or 32, and I went back to Chapel Hill. I owe a great deal to Clemson. I really do.
That's a great institution.
Yeah. When I came, I thought maybe I'd just stay one winter.
Yeah. Ended up staying
it's been a long,
winter.
Hard
winter. It's been a long winter, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. But I have enjoyed it, and I've just been so fortunate in working for such outstanding but different men. I worked from Spoolion first, and then I worked for Dr. Sykes, who was such a wonderful scholar. Then I worked for Dr. Poole, a scientist, and then for Mr. Edwards, a businessman. And I liked them all.
Nah, that's nice.
Yeah.